Are you ready to tap that app? This is episode 3, season 10 of RuPaul's Drag Race. We're going to discuss the runway. We're going to discuss the lip sync. We have our new special segment called Mirror Moment and a couple of shout outs. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hi guys, I am your host, 123 Jackie V on all platforms. We are here making Courtney Love relevant again. I'm not sure if she will be relevant after, but we have Mark J. Freeman on the panel.
Hello.
We have Ollie.
Hi guys.
We have randomly Ronnie Jr.
Hello.
What were your overall thoughts? I'm going to start by saying I loved this challenge. I think doing a commercial for a technology thing, like an app, is fun and fresh and new, so I enjoyed that. I just wish, though, that they actually made, like, the winning app just for funsies, so fans could, like,
actual real app.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I thought two of them were very strong, even conceptually, and the third one felt... Like, I would have been...
Forced.
I would have been discouraged if I was the team that got that one, just because I don't think there was a big enough play on it. But other than that, I liked it.
I thought it was a very shocking... It was a good episode. I thought it was really shocking, because the person who went home, I really expected to go much further. So, I mean, we'll talk about it, but I liked the episode, and it was good to see a different side of Dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. That was nice.
We'll I liked it. I thought it was a fun challenge, and I liked the runway. It was actually a good... theme. So
our mini challenge was selling Rue's chocolate bars, which I was talking off screen about how Rue's always pitching her things. Ronnie and I were saying how the music seems natural. Like, Rue's been doing music for a long time. It seems natural to sell your music on this kind of show. But the chocolate bar thing was weird to me just because I'm like, I'm not sure what drag queens and chocolate bars have to do with each other.
Or, like, why is there a need to have a chocolate bar with Rue's, you know, face on it?
Well, she had a pop-up that was in Hollywood a while back. And most of the stuff that was in the pop-up store was chocolate bars, which I didn't get.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I would have like a shirt or, I mean, they did have these things available, but like the thing that was the most was chocolate bars. And I'm like, I don't want a chocolate bar. I want like a shirt or something that'll last. You know?
I think it was good for the challenge, though. I did
it was fun for
where it brought the queens out. And you could have innuendos of you want this chocolate. And, you know, for that part, I did enjoy it.
I did enjoy that, too. So my favorite was Blair. I loved the Orphan Annie. Okay. I liked that she's always talking about being like a Broadway ingenue, and she kind of played the Broadway ingenue role in this to a T. Yeah. So that was my favorite.
Definitely thought when you had sent us like what to talk about today, like pick who you thought should have won. I thought, and usually I don't agree. Usually it's like I feel like they're up to something, picking people to win that don't deserve it. But those were the three that I generally made me laugh the most, and seemed genuine. Like, they weren't putting up, you know. Monique's was a little over the top, but everything else, I still thought she was funny.
I thought Cracker did really well, and I'm a little afraid.
Did you think that because they gave her more screen time, though? I did notice that, like, it does bother me a bit when I feel like the editors are favoring one queen because they're like, oh, Miss Cracker's gonna win, you know, so we should...
But a lot of stuff that comes out of her mouth is just, like, so funny, and I'm surprised she's not getting, like, any, like, challenge wins yet, or any, like, I don't know. I just feel
she's got a good beat about her. I was watching her her own YouTube channel, so she's actually doing a review of this season.
Oh.
And what a disposition she had about herself. She made one comment that made me laugh. She goes, oh, I might be the one queen who cares more about how I look versus trying to win $100,000. And it made me laugh because that was the note that I had, which was like, why again does Miss Cracker look like she got 45 minutes and the other girls only got 20?
Yeah.
So she's in on the joke, you know, for the most part. Was she the best? No, I don't think she was the best. My favorite by far was Monet Exchange. The way she worked that, where are you from? You know, I'm from, you know, Northern Ireland, was all of what she needed. And I love the fast, you know, on your toes aspect about her. And when they said, oh, what about the Irish jig?
And she just started.
The jig, baby. The jig. Oh, yeah. Monet is my one to watch. I can't stop thinking about Monet.
Yeah. She's funny.
Yeah.
She's funny.
She does. I do just see Bob It's kind of frustrating.
There are a lot of similarities, but I mean, there are some differences too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think as it goes too, she'll develop into her own, but she just sound like just the sound of her voice sounds like Bob to me. So,
but would that be a discouraging thing?
No. I want her to be her own.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's bothering me. I'm not saying it's bad. It bothers me because I want her to be her own person and I don't want to keep hearing that and comparing that.
Well, one aspect that would be fun is they have that podcast I think we talked about where it's Monet Exchange and Bob the Drag Queen. So you get to see two different personalities kind of going up against each other, which is, you know, it does single her out a little bit more.
Yeah.
So anyways, I like her and I'm here for it. And I'm here for Bob too. You know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, Ollie, do you want to tell us about Maria's new podcast?
Yes. For all you who want to have fun, want to learn and grow in all areas of life, for those who do, I have a podcast just for you. So, Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity influencer interviews along with secrets, tips, and how to be better in all aspects of life. So, you know, health, wellness, and
common sense.
Finance. Oh my gosh. Big one. Relationships. Oh, I'm single. Just broke. Literally. She is helping me out. So thank you so much, Maria, for doing this. And it's free. Free on iTunes. Check it out right now. Subscribe. So be sure to rate and comment. For those who do, let us know that it was the Drag Race panel.
Yes,
that sent you. So check it out, guys.
Ollie said last week he's trying to get Maria to be a judge on next season. So
that'd be awesome. We could bid
for that. And as far as growing and getting better, I think Yuwa is going to be the one that needs to listen to Maria's podcast more than any of the other girls. Yeah. I do.
I mean, she just did bad in the challenge, you know?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it just wasn't a good day for her. It's so sad.
Okay, well, when we get there, I wasn't as into it at all, so.
Okay. Well, I want to start with kind of the big fight that happened, which was Aquaria versus Vixen. And obviously, I want to say that I do realize that none of us are African Americans, so we cannot obviously personally speak to Vixen's experience or what she's been through. But for me, I just saw two. I mean, they're both under 30, so to me that means they're relatively young. And I just saw two people who are both wrong because it's like Aquaria wanted to start that fight by continually being like, your wig. Okay. You should know by watching any previous seasons that the queens always are sharing stuff. So let it go, you know, let it go. And the same thing to Vixen, though. It's like Vixen comes onto the show saying that she wants to fight. Yeah. It kind of sets up this precedent among other people to be like, okay, maybe I should just, like, back off or whatever. But it's when you're an adult, you learn to pick and choose your battles. And I do see where she was coming from, where she was saying, you know, as you make me look like an angry black woman by you, like, playing the victim.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, just be an adult and realize that this isn't a real fight anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you're all fighting over wigs.
Yeah.
You know, we're not fighting over the fate of the world. We're not fighting over something that, to me, is worth fighting over. So it's not like she came into your place and stole your gigs or something, or took cash from you.
Right.
So just like calm down, and you both need to like
take a second look. Yeah, I totally agree with everything you just said. Like, I feel like they both were kind of victimizing like themselves. So I was just kind of like, you guys, they're so petty right now. And like, for Vixen not to drop it, I mean, I don't know if that's commendable. And Aquaria wasn't dropping it. So I'm just like, oh my God, next. Can we like move on?
Yeah.
So if it's just nothing was resolved in that, that fight. And I like that Cracker, because are we talking about Untucked too?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's Cracker, it was nice to her to kind of resolve things, but even Vixen kind of shut her down, so I was like, damn, Vixen is just not taking no prisoners.
Yeah.
Mark, what are your thoughts? I have an opinion, but I'm interested to hear what you say first. And welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Glad to be back. You know, I think it was Monique said it, because I was really listening to Monique and Monet.
Yeah.
Because they, as other African-American queens, I was, like, trying to, like, get what they were saying. And I understood Monet saying, you know, I like that you're standing your ground, you're being who you want to be. 100%. And I think, of the four of us, I probably have a vixen-like attitude at times where I do go 100%. But I also know when to refrain. I also know when to just let things go. And I think that comes with my age. I'll say it. So I think down the road, Vixen will see that she does need to go to a five sometimes. And that doesn't mean that she can't be herself. It just means you just need to just know when to say when. And I did like that Monique also said, because when Monique said this, I went, thank you. I think a lot of it's in Vixen's head. I think she has something that she's holding on to. Like she said, when she came in the workroom, let's fight. Like, she came on this show to get airtime. There's no doubt in my mind that that's what's going on. She knows that if she argues with people, she's going to get airtime. So she's strategic in that way. I think it's nonsense. I think it's absolutely ridiculous. I understand what Aquaria is saying, 100%. Like, if you're going to do your best drag, then pull out the stuff that's in your bag and do your best drag. And I get that they swapped wigs and we can debate all that, but I understand what Aquaria is saying. I do think Vixen took this way too far. Mm. And the comment that Vixen makes to her in the mirror later had nothing to do with the wig. So she's still picking at her, even though, I mean, I think when Vixen starts doing this with somebody who has that same kind of attitude, Vixen's in for a rude awakening.
The other problem is, it's like, yeah, I don't, because some of this fight seemed to come out of nowhere between both of them, actually.
Yeah.
And I understand that there's probably stuff that's happening backstage that we don't see, because Dusty mentions, was it Dusty who said, I wouldn't consider you a friend?
Yeah, yes, that was Dusty. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Dusty who mentioned
you were standoffish.
Yeah, that I wouldn't consider you
New York,
a friend.
Because they knew each other in New York.
Yeah, and it's like, okay, so I see that there's probably some underlying something there to make this happen. But as a viewer, it just seems like, you said, Mark, it's like, pick your battles. There's going to be a time for Vixen when something really matters, and that's when you stand in and you stand up for yourself.
Well, and I think Monique also said to her in that mirror, be the bigger person. Just stop it. Grow up. You're acting childish. I get it. You have a strong personality. So do I. I also am a human with a brain, and I know when to shut the bleep up. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
I don't know. I think I strongly agree with a lot of that, just because the problem that is presented is Aquaria. So if we have an issue where Aquaria has stuff with the Vixen, if Aquaria has stuff with, you know, how she tried to pull down Miss Cracker, Aquaria has a call out that just occurred through Dusty, it's always Aquaria. And one of the things that Aquaria has not got to experience is this human interaction. You know, she is a queen that could perform. We do know that now. Obviously, we haven't seen it on the show yet. But, you know, we've seen that she performs. And we see that she could turn looks. Aquaria.
Okay.
But Aquaria has not gotten to a point of human interaction where things are being challenged. Aquaria, to me, failed in this position. While I never want to see anyone sort of like go at you that hard where, you know, Aquaria is, you know, sad or whatever, I just feel like I can't, in my heart of hearts, feel bad for the way the Vixen handled it. Like, you can't tell anybody how they need to react, in the sense of, I'm going to be tough, and if being tough causes me to have friction with the other queens and I go home early, that's something that the Vixen is self-confident in and is willing to do. Mm-hmm. I always think about, like, for myself, if I were to go on a TV show like Big Brother, I always, when I watch it with other people, it's like, oh, I'm the type that would probably spaz out. Mm-hmm. And then I'll sit, like, with my siblings, and they'll be like, oh, no, that's not the right move. Life ain't about the right move for a game. Life is about how you deal with each situation. And the Vixen was very aware of the optics. It made a lot of sense. I did the after show for Being Mary Jane, and the actual narrative of Angry Black Woman had come up. So I totally understand the frustration that Vixen had. I'm not even a Vixen fan in the other episodes, but in this context and in this case, I totally was vibing with her, and I understood her frustration. I understood, you know, when people say, you know, oh, let it go. You can't let it go, because this is something that's prominent in her life at all times, you know. So it's just the idea Bob Monet could possibly be the bigger person, but Vixen is willing, and this is what I commend her for so much, she's willing to say, I'm not going to be the bigger person, this is what it is, and if it causes more tension, I'm even willing to go home. I love that fighter mentality of the Vixen. You know, was she being a little too much? Yeah, but let her be. And this was the one moment that I really had no negative feelings about the Vixen. I thought she addressed it the way she wanted to, and good for her. And I was okay with it. I can't even think about anything negative about it. Mm-mm.
Well, hopefully, I'll just say for people who do think something that's negative about Vixen, hopefully we see a softer side to Vixen. I would like to see that, just because I feel like people are going to start attacking Vixen, like on social media.
Well, that's so she's easy to do. According to her, she can take it. So,
attack away. I would like to see. I think this also has to do with what we've seen of her so far. It's like if you are inviting people to look beyond the stereotype, and I'm not just talking about this exchange, which, yes, I do see how, like, Aquaria starts crying. It makes Vixen look bad. Mm-hmm. And that, like, and she had attacked Vixen in the first place. Totally get that. But then when you're watching the prior episodes, it did seem like Vixen was, like, also fighting, like, trying to, like, fight with other people, and
that's true, and that's why what I was saying a second ago, like, I wasn't for the Vixen the first two episodes. I wasn't for the Vixen wearing the fire because she's the fiery fighter. I wasn't even feeling it then, but I'm saying in this specific context, I really was thinking, like, she had a point. Like, what I felt was a good mic drop moment was when she said, then just don't talk to me. Meaning, like, if you don't like the way I address it, you know how I am. Let's stop putting them. What I felt, where I felt unfair to the Vixen was, it was as if the whole crowd was putting the mirror on the Vixen and her actions when there's an easy solve. Aquaria, leave it alone. Let her just go be her own person. But you don't want to do that. You can't. It's two times we've seen Aquaria come with the snide remark, if she wants to call it snide. And then when it comes to everyone talking about it, she can't back it up. That's a problem, you guys. She did it to Miss Cracker. Oh, real popped off at the mouth. But then when it came push come to shove, she couldn't handle it. And then she did the same thing. Well, I want to know. It wasn't your real hair. Let's talk about that. She tried to be funny. Aquaria, you can't be that way to people and not expect them to react. So if this was a game, you know, I'm wholeheartedly on Team Vixen for this instance and this instance only.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think that completely makes
this
sense.
This is too emotional. No, oh my gosh. Like,
I mean, it does. Like, it's a valid. I know we spent a lot of time on this and we're going to move on to the main challenge. But I do know that it has happened where viewers will see this show and feel like the African American queens are not being represented correctly. And I think that this needed to be addressed on this show. And so I do think it was an important moment. Moving on from that, Monique makes a comment when they're starting the main challenge that she believes that she should have gotten, like, better accolades for what she did. And I actually totally 120% agree with her. I completely agree with her. And, like, I know sometimes we hate to be like, oh, why is this queen begging for accolades? But it's like, she did make an entire dress out of cards. It's pretty right. Badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her Cookie Monster look.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and she's definitely someone who's surprising me. And her look this week, which we'll talk about. So I don't know if that's going to, like, come up again, if she's going to, like, continuously be, like, robbed. So I don't really know. It could very well be, like, her downfall, possibly.
My Monique comment is the same as it was last week. Like, I didn't go in really with high hopes for her. So when she did the card dress and the Cookie Monster, I keep saying, wow, you know, if we're presenting objectively for this week, she's doing great. And I thought the same thing about her costume, her gown this week. Maybe could have been a little tighter, but yes, I'm with it. And I kind of think she could have been robbed, yeah, on some occasions. Absolutely.
So we had Blair, Monique, and Monet won the mini challenge, which meant they got to pick the queens for the main challenge. So for the End of Days app, we had Blair, Miss Cracker, Eureka, and Vixen. For the Fibster app, which is the app about, like, lying, we had Monique, Dusty, Cameron, and Mayhem. And then for Madam Butterface, I'm sorry, this category just killed all the other ones, though. Monet, Asia, Aquaria, and Yuha. So did you guys feel like you had a favorite performance overall in these? I think hands down Asia deserved the win.
Yeah.
Like, I will talk about the runway where I did not agree with anybody about her runway outfit, but her face killed me. Like, I was crying so hard because I was laughing so hard.
Lucy the Missing Link.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't really do much, though.
Oh, you Ollie, know, sweet if Ollie.
You do, if you can do who? Good face.
Asia.
I agree.
Honestly, like...
Oh, the outer part of the table does not agree.
I prefer someone who performs well and has, like, lines. Yep. And I just think...
She did have lines.
She had a good moment, that when she froze in that beginning, and that's what everybody's funny. And it was funny. I'm not putting it down, but overall in the thing, no,
but she complimented it with some really good lines. I know, I remember taking away from it, she had a line about like, oh, how you have a body that's banging but a face that looks like a tornado or something like that, and that whole scene was strong. It was just as strong as the face.
I don't think so.
Absolutely,
she
was
the strongest in the team.
Strongest in the team, yes. Overall, no.
I do agree with Blair, Eureka, Cracker, and Vixen winning, though.
Hands
sure.
down
Absolutely.
The best.
Oh, and I mean, just for this episode, Vixen was getting so annoyed with Eureka, because Eureka does talk a lot. But it was hard for me to see, like, I guess not being there, I'm wondering, like, where that was coming from, you know? And so that was another moment that I was like, but I don't understand why you're so upset, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting that Vixen didn't really, like, if she had a problem with Eureka, that she didn't confront Eureka. So I don't know if maybe she just has a better relationship with Eureka, because she just seemed really
annoyed. Wonder if we're all just, not we're all, but I wonder if a lot of the girls in the workroom are getting tired of Eureka, because the same situation happened with Asia last week. Asia was like, come on, Eureka, relax. And I mean, yeah, it was the same situation. She was like, you know, Vixen's issue was that Eureka came with some really silly, unhelpful type of, you know, storyline, I thought.
Okay, well, that's fine, but at least she's bringing something. Well, here, but it's the thing, is like, you can't get mad at her for speaking her mind and speaking out and being loud and obnoxious when Vixen's doing the same thing and you're going to defend her. That you can't say both.
Wait, how is it the same?
Because she's at least loud and contributing. Being pouting in a corner because somebody's loud and contributing isn't justifiable. Like, she's at least when you sit down to do something creative, everybody sits down and you do a thing called brainstorming. Everybody shouts out ideas, shouts out names. You write them all down. They don't have to make sense. You just get ideas flowing. At least she's contributing and giving something. She cannot like it. I'm not saying she can't not like it, but you can't be mad at Eureka for being Eureka.
Yeah, but you're
and then
but,
not say that that's a problem, but then it's okay for Vixen to be nasty and yelling and all this stuff. Like, it just doesn't make sense.
There's a difference between contributing and being self-involved, and I think the issue was that the Vixen said,
I don't think she was being self-involved.
I thought she was a little bit.
I don't think she was at all. I think she understands. Here's the thing. She understands I'm a big girl. If I can use this to help the team, I'm going to use this to help the team. I don't think there is anything about Eureka that is about Eureka, like that she's trying to do. I think that you couldn't say that about Vixen. I think Vixen is sitting in that corner pouting because she's not on stage getting the attention. That's why she's pouting. It has nothing to do with Eureka.
Well, cool. You know, who didn't speak up? It was, what was her name? Mayhem. She didn't speak up, so
Which kind of surprised me.
She owned it in the end, though. She knew she
Which worries
was
me
wrong.
For her future, because I don't think she's going to last. And I expected her...
Don't say that about Mayhem. I don't think she... Don't say that.
It was a very tough episode for Mayhem, for sure. So, I was going to say... Oh, real quick. I was going to say about the challenges. I know we make comments sometimes about how, you know, what was it you said last week? Dorji with the Stevie Nicks, where it's a tougher play. I really do feel like the Phipster team had the toughest of the three. I think End of Days had places to go and play, and I think so did Butterface. But my opinion was I would have been personally challenged if I got Phipster, because to me it seemed so spot on to what we already make jokes about. There's already a catfish show. There's already the idea that people lie online. So I didn't really know where there were too many places to go. I only say that to say I felt bad for that team, Cameron and Mayhem, and you know, it wasn't as easy as the other ones to really set something special up.
See, I disagree, because I think that Phipster, because there's a catfish show, I mean, this is on VH1, Catfish is on MTV, you could probably still use like the catfish logo or whatever and make up your own thing based on it, like use that knowledge to make something really
I say
funny.
You can't, and it's like to say that it's that the you're just saying like I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this that you and you just don't know what someone's creative process is going to be like, so maybe Phipster given to four other people would have came up with a brilliant idea, and then you would have been saying, and because Butterface made a mistake, you know what I mean?
I'm saying for me personally, like I would have reacted in a way where Phibster would have been a challenge. Because yeah. I like because whenever when we watch these challenges, and I think everyone does, all the viewers too, you start conceptualizing. Oh, yeah. I would have done
what
this.
Would I do? Yeah.
And I remember sitting there, yeah. and I had about 17 ideas for End of Days, and I had 17 ideas for Butterface.
Yeah.
But I had a hard time figuring out what is a big get for. But that's just personally see, me, though. You, that, yeah, you, yeah. It sounds like you have a different...
No, yeah. And I don't know what I would have done, but I'm just saying, like, you know, if you went, if I went to an advertising company and said, I want to produce this, you can't go, oh, that's hard. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah,
you
yeah.
have to come Absolutely. Up with it. And that's the point of the challenge. You just have to come up with an idea. And it's like Snatch Game. It doesn't have to be spot on. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be funny.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they had an opportunity to do something funny, and they were not funny.
Yeah, was that unanimous? You guys all thought Phibster was the worst
yeah,
as well?
Absolutely.
I mean, the result was not good.
Yeah.
They really just don't have any funny queens besides Monique. So it was just a really weird mix of girls.
Oh, side note means nothing about nothing, but I loved Monique self-directing. That was probably the
funniest. Oh, that was funny. That was funny.
That was
she said the house visitors and the house guests.
I know, I love it. Carson was like, is there a difference?
She said, stop, hold on, cut. Okay, let's run that back.
Yeah.
And hilarious. I didn't really feel like she jumped out of pocket too when she said she gave a suggestion when they asked Mayhem, and Mayhem, you know, was deer in headlights. I personally felt Monique, although we are talking about how Monique oversteps a lot. In that case, if you're a player, your team, you know, you're the team captain, you know, Mayhem falls quiet, I do think you need to jump in and rise your team up a little bit.
I'm still rooting for Mayhem. I'm wondering if there's something more going on in her head. Like, maybe she feels so much pressure because she comes from, you know, yeah. mm-hmm. so many well-known queens.
Who's this?
Mayhem. And so I'm feeling like maybe that got into her head at that moment because I feel like she's better than...
You know, we were kind of talking about this before we came in, too. Sorry, I pointed at the door. I there was a moment in the Untucked, which I think... It just kind of pops into my head about this is, you know, Mayhem says to Cameron in the Untucked, it's a game. I'm just playing the game differently than they are. And if that's the case, then maybe that's what's going on. She's just like, you know what? You play the game how you want to play. This is how I'm going to play it. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but that's an insinuation that they're playing dirty. And I'm just, I wasn't really too big of a fan of that comment. Here's where Mayhem, and I do like Mayhem, and I know because you guys liked yeah. Mayhem, it obviously rubs off, and she has turned some amazing looks, and I generally enjoy her. My only little issue is, I'm going to compare her to somebody and follow me here. What Asia is doing as far as how she's working as a team player, how she's reacting to the critique, how she's knowing when to challenge things, when to sit back, I think is one of the best queens on this show is Asia. So I can't get behind this narrative of Mayhem saying, well, I couldn't get a word in edgewise. Like, for me personally, this is a game and it is competitive and you have got to know how to... live in the gray. It's not black and white. It's not, I get my feelings hurt. We talked about feelings being hurt a second mm-hmm. ago. I get my feelings hurt. I can't really get a word in edgewise, so let me go sulk. And that is what Mayhem absolutely did on this episode.
Yeah.
How I saw it.
Well, guys, I actually, we're running low on time, so I want to move on to the runway. We're going to give our top three and bottom two. My top three were Cracker, Vixen, and Cameron. Vixen, mm-hmm. I actually really love peacocks, and I love the way that dress moved, and I thought it was a cool effect when she moved with it. And then Cameron... just totally badass.
I don't know if I've ever said this more in the 3 years I've been here. I'm like, are we watching the same show, Jackie? No. I don't know.
Maybe you're watching America's Next Top Model.
Maybe that is
we're watching.
Okay, get ready for my bottom.
Okay. here we go. Buckle up, everybody.
Buckle up. Dusty and then Asia. Asia, I love you, girl. But that dress, like her face was so perfect and beautiful. But it's like, if you're going to do a campy dress, that looks like Big Bird, not Tweety Bird.
Yeah. I kept doing that. I kept going, oh, Tweety Bird. Not like oh, you're thinking Big
Tweety
Bird.
Tweety Bird is supposed yeah. to be small. So yeah. like if you were going to do like a Tweety Bird thing, maybe you should have done an illusion thing where like only your top is Tweety Bird and then your legs are like the legs or something. I don't know. It just read as Big Bird because it was so giant.
And again, it's, you know, it's how it's put on tape and presented to us. So if all the judges are sitting there going, it's amazing, girl, it's amazing, girl, as viewers, we are taught to go, oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So kudos to you for standing your ground. Because if it was on somebody like that they didn't like, you know, they'd be like, oh, well, it's not very flattering. It's covering your face. You know what I mean? All the things that they loved about it, they would hate about it if it was something that they didn't like.
Well, when we get to my when we get to my opinions, I guess I won't be, quote unquote, standing my ground. When it's my time to pick. Yeah, who are yours, Mark?
Well, I loved Eureka. I thought she was one that came out that I was like, wow. Cameron was another wow. Mm-hmm. And I really did like Blair as well. Those were probably my top three.
I wrote Eureka Most Improved for sure. Like, she really stepped it up.
Improved from?
From just from the past weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then bottom. Yeah. And you know, I am 100% team.
Come on, 100%
Mark. Team Dusty. Girl. And I keep watching it. I even watch it on my high definition TV in the other room. And I got up and I was like, oh, girl's got to get up and get close to the TV for this one. Because maybe I'm just missing something. Yeah, that was tough.
It's pretty ugly.
Yeah.
It's hard to do red and green and look good. Like, the only one that can do it is, like, Poison Ivy. But, like, that was...
And she had such a good episode, too, with the mirror moment, which we'll talk about later. But, gosh. Yeah.
And I didn't... I don't know. I don't know if it... I just did not like... And, I mean, maybe she's just rubbing off on me. I just did not... I thought it was just very... ordinary.
I didn't like it.
It could be that. If you're personality...
I've seen so many peacock dresses that I was like, oh...
Where are you going that you are seeing so many
I saw, FYI, Paris Hilton at the Elton John Oscar party in a peacock dress that blew that out of the water, FYI. So, I will always compare
All right.
Well, Ollie.
And I'm not even a Paris Hilton.
So, my top three, Cracker, I loved her concept, her story about her friend passing away. And then, you know, the bird laying a nest, and that was giving her new life. And also, like, her new drag life. So, that's great for... And I just loved... Cracker in general.
Hallelujah.
So
yes.
I'm trying not to be biased, but Cameron was amazing. I'm sure we can all agree. Total Maleficent vibes.
Yeah.
And I really liked Aquaria's look. I think it was very simple, but it was really nice. And I'm not, I haven't been really liking Aquaria's look so far, so I was really surprised and happy about her look this week. And then my bottom two would be Dusty for sure. And I really didn't like Mayhem's look.
Yeah.
I didn't, I don't.
I actually the back of the
garment,
the
back of the hair and the back of the garment looked a little loose too.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
if we're picking hairs, you know.
Yeah.
And
we are.
I'm
plucking
also,
feathers.
I'm also just not a fan of like the pure, like super blue eyes. I just don't
see
find
that's
it.
A, I like love it because it's her signature thing.
There was four like girls that had contact eyes this episode.
No, I realize that, but for Mayhem, like, again, it's I followed Mayhem. So, like, Mayhem has been doing that thing with her look for years, so she's made it a signature for herself.
Mm-hmm. No, I was just meaning, like, stylistically. I didn't realize this episode had four different queens, which was kind of one of the most I think we've seen of that. Okay, so I almost, just because we're running short on time, I agree with everything you said about Cracker, almost word for word, same as Cameron. And because this is a game... you know, I did like Asia. I was with it. I'll give you my supporting evidence in a second. My worst were Dusty Ray, and this is challenging for me to say because I love her so much, but I'm gonna be objectively critical because I felt like Monet Exchange is one of my favorite queens by far, has not missed a beat once, but I don't think you could wear the same blonde hair.
I think it was an actual different wig, but it was too similar.
If I'm blind and I can't really see, you know, clearly, and I see red and blonde yet again, I don't know that I can be okay with that. Yeah. I need a big evolve. So really, it should be Yuhua should be the bottom two. But because I love Monet so much, I'm willing to put Monet in the bottom because I expect so much more from her. Are you guys going to try to read me for the Asia one? Because I liked Asia.
I liked Asia's
too. Fine.
You're entitled to your opinion.
You are absolutely entitled.
I wrote all these notes to support it. All right, moving on.
Ronnie was like, I'm ready to defend.
I wasn't sure if anyone was going to like Asia, but I really have...
Bring out your inner vixen. Speak your mind, girl.
I mean, I always do, but...
No, it's an opinion.
Ollie looks like a snack. somebody just wrote, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
And they want to see your shirt. Somebody, it's Pheromone. It's Pheromone. They were asking to see your shirt.
So
it's Christina Aguilera.
It's Pheromone, life-size photo.
Yeah.
So I want to get on to our special segment, which is the mirror moment, which was Dusty basically pouring his heart open, explaining how he came from this super conservative family. And it did seem like there was a level of, like, wistfulness there, because Blair comes from also a super conservative Christian family, but he's so close to his mom and his mom is embracing him. And instead, Dusty got basically taken to, like, pray the gay away camp, it seems like. And that was heartbreaking to me, because you see these stories over and over and over again, and you start to really, not start to, but you really realize how much, like, being on a show where you're around other people like yourself, just like letting you be you, how much that could mean to someone.
Yeah, absolutely. I had a good friend of mine in college whose parents would send him, like, books on, like, converting back to heterosexuality and stuff like that. And
there's
just blew
this
my
book
mind.
And it was turned into a movie, real story, called Prayers for Bobby, in which this guy committed suicide because his parents were so religious, and then his mom actually, after his suicide, flipped the switch and ended up being like a
PETA or not
PETA
P flag
activist, not a PETA activist.
She may be a PETA activist too. I don't know that. I don't know that for a
but
fact.
But it did make me think of that.
Yeah.
No, I just real quick. I think that was a really beautiful story, and I'm really happy that he was able to share that because not everyone has that connection with their family. Like, lucky for Blair, but. You know, I can kind of relate to it. I have a good relationship with my family, but, like, it's just, you know, when he said that the pastor told him that you will not find success in a homosexual relationship, like, I was, like, tearing up because, you know, it just reminds me that there's parts of this world where stuff like that happens.
Absolutely.
And it's heartbreaking. And, you know, we live in, like, L.A. where, like, we don't have to deal with that as much, but it's... Very
it brings
true.
Me to, like, I'm going to tie in some news and gossip with this, because John Oliver recently did a segment on Mike Pence's policies, which
After
he's...
TV news.
Which, so, Mike Pence, you can look up his policies, and you can look up the John Oliver segment he did, but a lot of he's friends with a lot of, like, pray the gay away type of people, and he really votes along those sorts of lines. And so John Oliver actually ended up writing this book that is where Marlon Bundo, Mike Pence's bunny, is gay, and all the proceeds for the book go to the Trevor Project. So if you want to buy the Marlon Bundo book that he wrote, you can. The proceeds go to the Trevor Project.
Very good.
I thought that was great.
Yeah,
it's a cute book too. I own it now.
Yeah. I love when they turn stuff around on people like that. It just makes me happy.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think I get, like, you when I hear these stories, because I was lucky enough to have family and friends that were super supportive. I mean, not saying that it was easy for anybody, but I didn't have those things. So I get the same way. When I hear people telling people they can't do this because they're gay, they can't do that, I'm just like, girl, stop it. You know, it's like...
It was very challenging, and I'm glad you mentioned how you teared up or whatever, because that was the first thing I was going to say. Like, I watched it 3 times, especially that scene, and I can't not watch it and have my face being affected and sad and my heart beating in a certain way. And that commentary of you'll never find success, you'll never find love, does speak to so much. Like, I think about, you know, as a child of the 80s, you know, I remember certain criminalized things that were happening. You know, if you're born in the 80s, which I was, it's, you know, HIV and AIDS is happening. In the 90s, you know, the Keith Haring, the Robert Mapplethorpes are passing away, Sylvester. Back in 97, you've got Cunanan and Versace, you know, headlines. They did so much to criminalize what it was to be a gay man or, you know, LGBTQIA, the whole thing. And so I thought by him saying that really did make an understanding of how, you know, whatever challenges you've had to get to your full self-acceptance, whether it's watching Drag Race, whether it's, you know, performing or whatnot, it really took me to that place of all of these negative things where they will tell you you're inadequate. And I just think it's a very special time. And kudos to him because he's, you know, engaged.
Yeah.
Do you think, I don't remember how old Dusty is, but do you think it might be like a parents' generational thing too? Because maybe if Blair's younger, maybe his parents are younger, and maybe if Dusty's older, maybe his parents are older, and it's that there's that.
Yeah, it's, play that's, as well. Yeah, that's why
it's definitely a possibility.
Yeah, and Blair comes with like a conservative family as well, so that is a good point you bring up. But it's cool that also, real quick, that Dusty was able to not shun religion too, because he's still religious, he still believes in God, because it's so easy, like, to shun and like hate religion too, and it's good that, like, you know,
Monet too said she sings in the choir and drag.
That was so cool.
That I loved that. I loved that, because I have a one of my very best friends is a lesbian, and her wife, they were members of the Catholic Church, and they left to join a different Christian church that they felt would be more accepting to them, and that's still very much a part of their life. They didn't let they didn't let us. Specific instance get them down.
Yeah, there are a couple services like that. There's one in Glendale. I remember I went to Hillsong in New York, and that was very open and free spirited as well too. So, but touching moment for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, thank you guys for that great conversation. Yeah. I'd like to really quickly give your predictions for top three, like who you think in the end will be the top three.
Oh, final three of the show.
And also, everybody tweet us with who you think the Spiders drag queen's name would be, because I see that going in
somebody,
the chat.
Somebody in the chat room just wrote, the spider, though. It made me laugh.
She would be called Sissy Long Legs.
That's I like
that's
that.
That's off the top of my head, I would
Sissy
say.
Sissy those long legs.
Now, am I picking who I think is going to go or who I want to go? My dream top three.
You convince us. You sell it. Sell it.
You're after Buzz TV prediction.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Eureka. I think everyone needs to watch out.
I still don't understand the Eureka thing. She's like the least interesting person. My only contribution I've ever said good about her was, I do think this last runway was her best. I have such a hard time, and we talked about it a second ago with the Vixen, I have a hard time enjoying anything that's Eureka. It's so weird to me.
So maybe if you were in the room with Eureka, you'd be one of those people being like, I don't want her on my team.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't understand. When Nico was groveling over her, I don't get it. So next episode, we'll talk more in detail why you like her so much.
I think she's the full package. I completely do. Eureka. I'm going to say Eureka for top three. Monet.
Cracker. Hello.
I mean, I do like Miss Cracker.
Jeopardy music?
I don't know though that I don't know.
You think she'll get like a Katya cut or something?
I don't know. I'm just worried.
Do you want the rest of us to
go? I have to pick. Wait, who I'm just trying to think who else is standing up there. I'm trying to think of everybody.
I know.
Because I don't want to get home and then be like, "Oh, why didn't I say so and so?" Oh, I'm going to go. Thank you. Someone in the chat room just read. I'm going to say Blair. Blair's really growing on
She's
me. I said
really
this
good.
Before we came on
She's
air.
Really good.
I wasn't blown away by her Meet the Queen, and I think I had a different expectation of who she is. So I'm going to go Blair, Eureka, Monet. Ooh, top three.
I really hope Blair gets that far. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling like something, my heart's going to break and she's going to go home like unexpectedly.
Yeah.
I will say Cracker, Monet. I would have also said Yuha, but she got eliminated.
I liked Yuha too.
I'm so sad. Yeah. Like, she's funny. Yeah. So I'm disappointed.
Did you miss Yuha? Yuha?
We didn't get to really talk about her game.
I know. We didn't really get to talk about her.
She said,
I don't know who would be my... God, I don't know. I'll say Blair. Because I love Blair.
A very unconvincing Blair.
Because I think... Ronnie, just take it away.
Okay, well, I'm not going to miss Yuha at all. When she said... Oh, it's weird that I'm going home because I did so good the first 2 weeks. Did you? You did not do good the first 2 weeks. So I will not be missing you at all.
Here's the thing, though. Like, she's so cute and funny, like, outside of the actual competition.
Yeah.
Sometimes people just don't mesh with the competition.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They just don't get to express who they truly are. And sometimes there's people that the competition just... brings out the best in them, and I don't think that it did.
That's why I say Asia does really well, because she knows how to play, you know, challenge or not challenge, sit back, you know, she gets it. Anyways, my quick top three are going to be Cracker for sure. I didn't think Asia when we hit Meet the Queens, but I can't get off Asia right now because I'm impressed each and every week of what she does. And I'm battling at the end. Monet Exchange is by far my favorite queen, I think, just in general, but I want to go Monet or Blair as that third choice. I kind of lead towards Monet because I just love Monet.
See, if this was my like personal top three, it would be Blair, Asia, and Monet. But I know that Miss Cracker, the way they're editing her, she is going to maybe win or be in the top three just because of how it's going so far.
But I was watching her YouTube season 10 premiere party lip sync. Oh my God, we haven't even seen an ounce of what Cracker's gonna give. Oh, she's so good.
I love Cracker. I'm biased.
You guys, that's great.
I do like Miss Cracker too. Yeah. I do like Miss
Cracker too. She's just not like my. That's just not.
I don't know. I feel like I keep. Like, I get that they're giving her airtime, but I'm just not as impressed with a lot of what I'm overall seeing right now. But
and I think it was awesome that we did a panel that had some sensitive issues. You know, sometimes this show is all fun. We actually had to really talk about some deeper things, so I really thought that was fun, as presented on the VH1 show and then even here with us in the chat and stuff.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. We will be here at 6 p.m. Pacific time next week.
Yes.
I am 123 Jackie B on all platforms. Mark, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Lorraine Love, LorraineLove.
Yes, guys, and I'm Ollie Drennan. Follow me on all social media platforms at Ollie Dreamer.
All right, I'm randomly RJ. That means my name is Ronnie Jr. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Thanks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Drag you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.